Blog Talk Radio.
Secure Your Life. I am your host, Diamond Taylor. This is Tough Talk Tuesday. It is time to get your rant and rave on. I am so happy to be with you this evening. We are going to have a lot of fun. This is an opportunity for you to say exactly what is on your mind, what you like or dislike about the economy, the political home front, what's going on in the world, what's going on in your finances, whatever it is that you want to rant and rave about, what's happening on your job. This is your opportunity to tell us all about it. So before we get started, let us take care of a little housekeeping, and I will see you right on the other side of that. In the meantime, you can call in at area code 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343. And I cannot wait to hear from you to find out what's on your mind for this Tough Talk Tuesday. So here is our disclaimer.
It is time to do a little housekeeping and give you our disclaimer for Secure Your Life. The views and opinions expressed on the show may not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the host, the sponsors, this station, and that of Pericon Productions. The content and or information that is referenced and referred to on this program are intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. We encourage our listeners to seek direct consultation from a qualified, licensed, and certified professional. The purpose of this show is to provide an open forum where one is free to express his or her opinion. In a no-holds-barred discussion about money, personal finances, and business matters. Now, it is time for you to sit back and participate and enjoy the show. And once again, thank you for joining us for Secure Your Life.
All right, we are back, and I am so excited. This is going to be a really fun show tonight. Like I said, this is your opportunity on Tough Talk Tuesday to get your rant and rave on about anything and everything that you would like to talk about that has affected your finances, whether it's the political front, whether it is the economics as a whole, whether it's what happened on your job, what your spouse, girlfriend, or other have done to you that has caused you some economic heartache, trouble, or whatever. This is time for you to face the facts and tell the truth. So we are going to get this party started. Our phone number, if you'd like to join us, is area code 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343. I am anxiously awaiting to hear from you. You can also join us in the chat room if you're listening to us live. I can take your questions, or should I say your rant and rave, from the chat room. Or if you're with us on Twitter, you can tweet us at Twitter at Secure Your Life, or you can contact us via Facebook. So any way that you would like to get your rant and rave on, we are here to listen. I'm going to open up the phone lines real quick. But before I do that, we got some interesting emails last week for this week's show. I had one person emailed me, and they said, my wife stole my money and gave it to her relative. I have worked on the job for 25 years, and I only took a small amount for myself to get me through the week and gave the rest for my wife to handle the household finances. She told me that she was putting part of the money into a mutual fund or some kind of investment portfolio so that I would have money to subsidize my retirement. Now I am exactly 6 months from retiring, and I have no money whatsoever besides my Social Security, and I do not I don't qualify for that for another 3 years. What should I do? OMG. I'm telling you, you know what, before I even answer that, I'm going to give all of you all a chance to chime in on that question, because I am pretty sure that someone else besides me would like to get in where they can fit in and actually help this poor guy out. If you just tuned in, you are listening to Secure Your Life. This is Tough Talk Tuesday, where you get a chance to get your rant and rave on, and we have a good question right on the floor right now. Please call in at area code 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343. What is your advice for this guy whose wife has taken his retirement money, given it to her relatives, and he has nothing to supplement his Social Security? So I'm going to open up the phone lines first to area code 815-395. How are you?
Oh, good evening, Diamond. How are you? This is Ron.
I am doing fabulous, Ron. Did you hear the question?
Oh, yes. I think the first thing he needs to do is get rid of his wife.
Well, you know what? I would have to second that, because there is no way in the world that you have insured, or should I say she had insured him, that she was looking out for not only him but their family all of these years. He worked for 25 years, and she has taken his money that she promised to put up for him in some type of mutual fund or some kind of stock portfolio, and only to find out that she's been giving the money to her relatives.
Say Diamond?
Yes.
Yes, something like that. Matter of fact, the same thing happened to a fellow that I retired with. He had been just giving his wife the money, taking a small amount for his, say, like his little pocket money and other necessities, and she was taking care of the family business.
Okay.
And I think, yeah, they had two kids. They had two kids. Anyway, when we got ready to retire, this is when he became aware of the fact that his wife had been giving the money to her family. There was nothing. There was absolutely nothing.
What did he do?
Hey, he got rid of his wife and went looking for another job.
Well, yeah, he had no choice.
Right. And to say that, well, see, like, this is back in, let's see, 98. Yeah, this is in 98. So I don't think it was as bad as things are now. But I think that fellow's only solution I think he would have is, like I said, first thing he needs to do is get rid of her and, hey, make her pay alimony.
Well, now, was she a homemaker? Was she an at-home wife and just kind of, or was she employed?
You mean my co-worker?
Yes.
I really don't know. I really don't know. I don't believe she was, I really don't know. I was getting ready to say, take a wild guess and say I believe she was just a homemaker, but that may not have been the case. I really do not know.
Well, if you didn't get rid of her, then I would make her go to work for the next 25 years to replace the money that she actually stole from him. That's ridiculous. How in the world can you be married to someone they have entrusted you to not only secure their future, but you all's future as a family? If he's the breadwinner, he's trusting you to take care of all the household bills, and you've done that. But he's also told you, listen, you need to put aside something for retirement for me other than what is supplied by my job, and you don't do that and you give the money to your relatives. That is not only just being irresponsible and selfish on your part, but you've actually damaged you all's future.
Yeah, well, what happened with him, from knowing this fellow, I do not believe he gave her any instructions with the money.
Well, that was
not,
mistake
it's not
number
like
one.
The guy that got in touch with you and says he gave his spouse instructions. Knowing this fellow, I do not believe he gave his wife any instructions. He just gave her the money.
Yeah, well, that was mistake number one.
Right.
Before you go any further, let me say this. If you just joined us, you are listening to Secure Your Life. This is Tough Talk Tuesday. It is all about getting your rant and rave on. We would like to hear from you. We have a question on the table right now from a person who actually emailed me and said that his wife has stolen his money and given it to her relatives. He had been working for 25 years, 6 months from retirement, and now he had instructed her to put the money in a mutual fund or a stock, some type of stock portfolio, and she's given his retirement money, his subsidy retirement money, to her relatives. What should he do? Now, if you have advice for him, give us a call at area code 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343. Or if you have your own rant and rave that you'd like to talk about, we still would like to hear from you. I am going to give the floor to area code 312-217. You are on the air. Thank you for joining me.
Good evening. How are you?
I am doing fabulous. Thank you for calling Tough Talk Tuesday. Get your rant and rave on. Would you like to answer this man's question, and then I'd like to hear what your rant is?
To answer him, yes, I would get rid of the spouse, but not totally. First of all, I would tell him, you need to look, you needed to look at what was on the back of the money that you were given. You said, in God we trust. All others are up for suspicion. And have earned that trust.
Everybody else is questionable. I'm with you on that. In God we trust, and everybody else is questionable.
I humbly agree. And even with instructions, they should have sat down on every 2 weeks, and he should have gotten a listing of the bills, found out what was paid, ensure everything was paid, do a spot check. Again, it's trust, and I am so sorry that she damaged that trust, because, again, that trust in marriage is between two people who really truly love each other is something very sacred, and we have the tendency to forget that. But all is well in love and war. In this case, he has to take some of the responsibility for that also, I believe, because, like I said, he, despite giving her instructions, he needed to keep up on that himself, and she proved that she was doing as she asked him to do. Once he noticed that, he would have caught it years before. He would have caught it years before, but no, she's going to get a job and pay this money back. I am not going to be the only one working. I don't think so.
I agree with that. I mean, like you said, all is fair in love and war. It would definitely be war. It would be World War III. Because there is no way that she should be able to just take that money, give it to her relative. Matter of fact, not only would she get a job, but the relatives that she gave the money to would have to get a job.
Take it to court. I seriously would take it to court. And show exactly what happened in a good faith and see if the courts can do anything in reference to that to ensure that the money is returned in some form, shape, or fashion, restitution is made.
Well, I definitely agree on that. And I'd like to hear, what is your rant and rave for today?
My rant and rave is for today is for people who are perpetrating being business owners.
Uh-oh. What happened?
I'm a business consultant, and so I do run into, that's the reason why our firm is hired, but I'm one of the senior executives, so I deal with the CEOs of the companies, and in short, the ones who found it, and in short, the ones that created it and maintain it. If I can get these folks, people to understand that a budget, there are different kinds of budgets, do not wait. Number one, do not wait for the last minute for a that you have for a deadline. Don't wait till 3 days prior. They have a deadline and gave you the date for a reason. When you're dealing with your finances, give yourself as much forward time as possible. Number two, use realistic figures. People do know when you are lying. Number three. The most important thing of all, integrity, integrity, integrity. And when you are asking for help, please listen. That's what you hired us for. We are here for you. We're not here to rip you off. We are not. It's still your ultimate decision. But you have hired us to improve your business, and you checked us out, so it must be that you trust us enough to leave your baby in your hands. But please, listen when we talk. It's what you hired us to do. That's all I have to say this evening.
Well, I do understand that. I mean, especially if you've given someone sound advice, and then they go and they do exactly opposite of what you said. I'm not pretty sure that's enough to drive somebody mad. You tell them to go right, they go left. You tell them to go left, they go right. Everything that you say, they do opposite. So
exactly.
I can understand why that would make you really upset and mad. So 815, what were you getting ready to say?
I don't know. I was just thinking about that thing with the about my coworker. Or should I say my ex coworker? Since we're all retired now. I really
well,
don't know.
Well, he might not be retired.
Hmm? Oh, no, more than likely he
retired.
Is not retired. But I do know for a fact that they did divorce. That I do know. They went their separate ways. And he and I'm going along with what your other caller was saying, that he should try to, well, I don't believe going to court would do any good. because they would always come up with the excuse, well, what's mine? Well, we're a family. Well, it's a family, so you can't get it. You can't get anything back because tell the truth. That really is on. Is really right on the border with criminal activity. I mean, what the wife did.
Well, she didn't. Well, in your co-worker's case, she didn't steal the money from him. There was no instructions.
Right.
So, you know, under those circumstances, as unfortunate as it is, it's just considered bad money choices or mismanagement.
Mm-hmm.
And misappropriation of funds. So that, under those circumstances, that is not considered any criminal activity. It's just that it was a foresight on his behalf for not making sure that his business was taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that was, as they say, a series of unfortunate events by not checking up and making sure that he had secured his future. And that is vitally important that you do secure your future. You cannot allow someone to make that kind of choices, bad choices, and then you have to eat it.
Right.
So that's a no-no. Well, we're going to go to our next email. Here's someone else had another question. They said, should you keep financial secrets in your relationship or could it kill the relationship by keeping a financial secret? I have a secret account that I have not told my significant other about. Is this something that I should reveal or should I just keep that to myself?
Keep it to yourself.
And what would happen if they found out?
Ooh-wee, ouch.
I think he should keep it to himself, or she should keep it to herself.
I agree.
Yeah, because,
well, here's the situation.
See, here's something else you stop and look at. This person that says that they have an account, did they have that account before they entered into the relationship with this significant other? Or is it just something they started during the relationship?
This is something they started during the relationship.
Okay, well, if it's something that they started during the relationship, well, it's still a thing of saying, no, don't say anything about it. You know, it's sort of like you're having your office Christmas party, and you do a little smoochy with one of your coworkers. And that's it. The next morning, you see each other, and everybody's looking embarrassed. Why should you mention this to your significant other? Leave it alone. Let it die.
Well, here's a situation. The rest of the email says that they were having financial difficulties. And, they're having financial difficulties, but they have the secret account, and they have not told their significant other about it.
Are they planning on, say, like, alleviating the problem by saying, well, hey, look, I'm going to see if I can get some money somewhere to make corrections here, and say, boom, hey, wait a few days, hey, I've got X amount of dollars here. Where did you get from? Hey, I've got connections. I know a guy to know a guy. Let's just leave it alone. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it.
Well, I mean, that may
like that.
That
mm-hmm.
may not necessarily work in a lot of situations. It depends on, one, and this is going to sound really crazy when I say this, but for some reason, a lot of people can't or won't let sleeping dogs lie, if you know what I mean. They can't just take it and say, okay, well, I handled the situation. No, they want to know to an nth degree how it was handled. So if the person all of a sudden came upon a large sum of money to rectify the issue, it wouldn't be a fact that the issue is rectified. It would be a whole different issue or a bigger issue of where did you get the money, and now we got to pay them back, or who is this other person? So it would be a whole, like opening up Pandora's box.
Well, I think what you're looking at now is like damned if you do and damned if you don't. And I'm still saying, hey, stick by your gun. Hey, I say, I've got it. Don't worry about it. I'm taking care of the thing here.
Well, you know what, and I kind of agree with him on that case. Most men, and we're going to do this on the gender thing, most men that I know, they'll tell you they're broke, but they actually aren't. They actually have money stashed in the garage, in the basement, somewhere, just in case. It's called that backup money. The backup money is, I know it's there. If something happens, I can back you up. So that's kind of the same thing. I understand about the ninth degree, but I agree with Brian. I'm sorry. Just tell them, look, I have the money to take care of this in full. We are not in trouble. This account, again, I have the money. Keep it short, sweet, and to the point. There is, you know, no harm coming from this. It's all good. But if you actually, especially in a marriage, if you are actually the male, she's going to have to kind of remain in her place on this one and realize that his job is to be protecting and the protecting in the family as well as of her and the family. And she's going to have to step down and go, you know what, as long as none of us are going to go to jail for this, if there's no repercussions, I have to trust you. And it's all about a trust factor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Well, let me add some other people. If you just joined us, you're listening to Secure Your Life. This is Tough Talk Tuesday, chance for you to get your rant and rave on. And we are talking about different scenarios that our listeners from the previous week actually emailed. And we're talking about if keeping secrets, financial secrets from your relationship, could it kill the relationship? And what we're talking about now is one of the spouses has a secret account, a bank account, that they have not told the other one about. And they're having some financial difficulties. Should they or should they not tell the other person about the money or at least rectify the problem? So that is the question. But if you would like to add your two cents to it or tell us about your own rant and rave, you can also do that. You can join me in the chat room. I'll take your questions and or comments about the subject matter. And it is area code 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343. Would love to hear from you whether or not you want to answer this question or you have your own rant and rave. But we're going to keep the conversation going with the same topic. My situation is this, or should I say my idea is this on that situation. In regards to the point, the person who has the bank account, and you're currently cohabitating with this person, and you all are both in the financial, dire straits, I think that even if you don't tell them about the account, you do need to rectify the problem. Because why should you sit there and be selfish and hold on to the money when you can be comfortable and fix the situation? I think a lot of times a person is having the problem because they want to hold on to the money for themselves. But if the utilities are getting cut off, that's a problem. You know, if you're going to be set out, that's a problem. If the car can't get fixed, then that's a problem. It's not their problem. It's collectively you all's problem. Wouldn't you agree?
Most definitely. Mm. Most definitely. I'm in full agreement with that. It's everybody's problem. But it's a situation. We definitely should not just sit on the money. That's ridiculous. And it's also just totally.
That's where the problem can come in, is if you sit on it. If you are willing to, you know, use the money and you can say, this is a backup. Yes, I had this account just in case of for an emergency like this, and this is what it was used for. Maybe I should have let you know about it, but I didn't really think that it was necessary. And for that, I do apologize. But we have enough to get out of debt, out of hot, and more. We actually have a nice savings besides that.
Yeah, well, so that's telling where the money is coming from. I would just keep my mouth shut as to where it came from. Hey, I'm the man here. I'm doing the man's job, taking care of the man's business. And my job as a man, as you said before, is to take care, to lead, protect, and provide for the family. I'm doing this, regardless of where the money comes from. You don't have to worry about the police coming and knocking on the door now that I've got it, or we've got it, I should say. Don't worry, I'm going to take care of this. This will be handled.
Now, what if it was on the other foot, Ron? You have a situation where the it's the wife who has the secret account. She has the money. You're the breadwinner, but she does not. Okay, she is a housewife.
Okay, but see, here's the thing. Housewives put money in coffee cans and under the sink. They do that too, just like guys stash money away. Housewives do the same thing.
I agree.
Yeah, they come up with money out of nowhere. So it's just a thing. But you see, for the housewife, it's just a thing. See, if she's just a housewife, she and everything is coming from her husband. She's got a simple excuse. Hey, look, I've been laying a couple of bucks aside every chance I get. I've been scrimping and saving. Hey, we've got enough. We can cover this. This can be covered. And that's it. This is my coffee can money. See, so tell the truth is, she's really not confessing to anything. I mean, she's telling him what's really going on with the thing, but it's a situation, say, like, hey, wives do that. They'll say that, put money in coffee cans and under the sink and whatever.
Well, let me say this. If you just joined us, you're listening to Secure Your Life. It is Tough Talk Tuesday, a chance for you to get your rant and your rave on about any particular topic, whether it's the economy, what's happening on the political front, what's happening at work, or what's happening actually in your bank account or your wallet. This show is all about that. We actually have a question, two questions that are up. I'm going to give you all a chance to talk about that. If you just joined us, you can call 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343. I'm going to give those two questions again, or you can actually talk about your own rant and rave. I like to hear about that too. But the first one we talked about was, my wife stole my money after working 25 years. She said that she was putting money away as a subsidy to our retirement, only to find out that she was giving the money that I've given to her for that and giving it to her relatives. That's the first question. What should I do? The second question was, is keeping financial secrets in your relationship, can it kill the relationship? The person has a secret account that they have not told their significant other about, and they are presently going through some financial hard times. Should they reveal that they have this money? Those are the two questions. Or you could talk about what's on your mind, whatever your rant and rave is. I'm going to give area code 773-988 a chance to chime in. Good evening. How are you?
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Did you hear our two questions, or do you have your own rant and rave that you'd like to talk about?
Yes, I heard the two questions. I think it depends on the individual as far as the first or the second question. Number one, I think you said something about a joint account being used for one party's benefit and not the other. I think when you go into a marriage and two people are together, everything that they have is pretty much joint. And if it's not joint, it's something that you brought into the marriage before the marriage. Or if you come to an agreement with your spouse about something and you decide to keep it personal and simple, that's fine. But I think practicing deception in a relationship is a very dangerous way to cause distrust, and distrust begets distrust. And in other words, what I'm saying is that if you go into a relationship practicing some kind of deceptive practices, you're pretty much putting the relationship at jeopardy from the very beginning. I think disclosure, I think full disclosure is very important. I mean, if you take another set of circumstances where one party went out and did something to the other party that could actually get them killed, you know, even, you know, like promiscuous or sex out of wedlock or anything like that, all those things, like I said, you know, they need to be disclosed. You know, I think, you know, if you got sick or got ill or something, I'm sure you would want to disclose it to your other half. I don't care how much it hurts to keep them from being hurt, unless you're just one of those kind of people who don't care about people in anyway, and then you shouldn't have been married. So if you're going to get married, then you should be ready to disclose. If not, don't get married.
Well, I have to agree with you on that. Yes.
Okay, I have something to say about, okay, here's the thing, as far as I said, looking at the economics in the relationship, first of all, everyone has their own method of saving money. They have their own method of spending. Now, when two people get together, unless you got a couple of people that say like 18 and 19 year olds that really haven't accumulated anything, if they've been out here a while, they've had the opportunity to say they've got a checking account, they've got a savings account, they're managing their money or mismanaging it, however they're doing it, but they still have their method of saving, their method of spending. Okay, who is to say that my method is going to gel with yours or anyone else's for that matter? See, so I think that's something else that needs to be taken into consideration as far as the economics of the relationship is concerned.
Well, yeah, I believe also that in any relationship, economics is a very important part of it, as much as romance and physical attraction. I mean, there needs to be some common ground or some understanding, I think, financially, even before you tie the knot. Because once the knot is tied, it's sometimes very difficult to untie. So I think that sometimes two people should, like you said, discuss those things even before they get married. I mean, you need to weigh the pros and cons before you even take that step, because you become one person. So even in the oneness, you know, you have to, there's a little give and take. You know, if you're a spender and you don't like to spend money, and your partner loves to spend money, if you want to be with that person, it's going to be hard for you to change that person. You all have to find common ground. You know, that's what relationships are about, give and take, right? So you have to decide how much you're going to take in order to stay in it.
That's true.
I would agree with that. I would agree wholeheartedly with that. Pardon me, go on.
No, I was saying, so maybe before we even talk about the finances, maybe we should start talking about, you know, a real, real, real understanding of marriage and what it entails, because maybe many people don't know that when they're getting into a marriage that there's the rest of your life to consider, you know, before you take that step. And I've seen people rush into it. I've seen people try to rush other people into it, and that's not good.
No, that's definitely not good. I mean, just like anything, I think everything before two people get into, even before you even get to the point where you're talking about marriage or cohabitating or any of that, you need to discuss you all as an individual. And since we're talking about economics, we need to discuss the behaviors, economics. What is your attitude towards money? What is your attitude towards savings? What is your attitude towards prenuptial agreement? If one party comes into the relationship with a lot of assets, then we need to talk about that. We also need to talk about whether or not the other person is financially solvent or not. Because unfortunately, the way things work, unless you all are actually going to keep everything separate, is, you know, you still have to think about the fact that whatever's going on with that person credit-wise is now a part of the liability as a relationship as a whole. And you really need to look at that.
Yeah.
And then you need to also look at, and I'm going to give everybody a chance to comment too. You need to look at the fact that if this person was previously married or they have children outside of that relationship from a previous relationship or a previous marriage, and one party or both parties, I have to pay some sort of child support or whatever. That affects the whole family as a whole, because believe it or not, if the other parent that is non-custodial and is in the relationship with you, and that person has to pay child support, they can actually go after your assets for those children, for support for those children, because they're looking at the economics as of that the non-custodial parent. They're looking at the asset of that person as a whole, complete family. So if that person is married, they're looking at your spouse's income as a part of the income, which is 20% for the support of those children. So you really got to look at and ask those hard questions. And I had someone else they sent me a message. That's none of their business, and they shouldn't be in my affairs like that. But it really is the other person's business, especially if they have to come out of pocket.
That's why I say a lot of people don't understand what marriage is. For better or worse, for good. You go through the whole spiel. I mean, so you two people become one person. You become a unit. So anything that reflects your partner actually reflects the partnership. So if I went into business with a partner and I had all the assets and he had all the liabilities, well, he takes half of my assets as part of the partnership, and I take part of half of his liability as part of the partnership. So, I mean, you know, to say it's not another person's business, what is going on in your spouse's life is truly your business. It's true, you're busy. I mean, because you become one unit at this point.
Again, I agree with you. I don't. I believe. Hey, you need full disclosure, or at least most disclosure as much as you possibly can get, especially as far as the finances of the other party is concerned.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and the medical history and everything else. I mean, what if you're this intimate with a person? How can that person say, well, my medical history is none of your business? Oh, yes, it is.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's why people have to understand. That's why I go back to my original statement. You have to really understand what's involved in marriage before you say that you're going to commit to something like that. I mean, it's a lifetime commitment. Once you get economically and physically tied into someone, and their children involved, their finances involved, it's no separating those two things. I mean, that person becomes a part of your life for life. Even if you're married for a short period of time, that's a part of your history now.
Right. Yeah, so your best bet before you make the leap, take a good look.
Exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah, take a good look and ask questions and expect answers.
Well,
because
actually,
if I'm not getting any answers, hey, I'm not going any further with this. Because, it's a waste of everybody's time.
Exactly. Maybe
it's
the person
a waste
should
of
put
everybody.
A checklist
I'm not
going
to waste your time, and I refuse to let you waste mine. Who are you? What do you mean it's none of my business? Hey, who are you? What was life like for you when you were growing up? And the thing, I'm looking at a thing like this. If a fellow were to be talking to this lady, they've been dating, they're getting along real nice, and he says to her, well, okay, and this is something people don't do, what was life like for you growing up? And she says to him, well, I was raised in a three-bedroom apartment as a single mom, three-bedroom apartment with 13 sisters and brothers.
Well, hold on 1 second with that comment. Let me chime in for 1 second. If you just joined us, you are listening to Secure Your Life. It is Tough Talk Tuesday, chance to get your rant and rave on. So if you have something that you would like to talk about, whether it's the economy, what's going on the political front, what's going on economically with you and your wallet, then you have tuned in to the correct show. We'd like to give you an opportunity to chime in. Our phone number is 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343, or you can join us in the chat room. We can take your comment and or question right now, or you can actually tweet me at Twitter at Secure Your Life, or you can catch us on Facebook as well and leave your comment, and I will read those questions and comments, or your rant and rave, that's what it's all about tonight on the show. So I'm going to give opportunity to area code 803, and then Ron, you can go back, and then also area code 773-988. Hold your comment, both Ron and area code 988, and give area code 803 a chance to chime in, and then we can continue the conversation, and also we'll take the comments from the chat room as well.
Okay.
Good evening this evening. How are you?
Yes, it's Thomas.
Hi, Thomas. How are you doing?
Good. How you doing?
That's good. Did you get a chance to hear our conversation?
Yeah. But, you know, I got to talk about the cool fest that's going on MSNBC. With Al Sharpton and Cornel West. And let me tell you what, man, son. I'm just tired of all of the fake leaders, all of the so-called, you know, fighters for freedom and equality, and all they do is, you know, look stupid for white people in front of TV. They have absolutely no one's best interest at heart other than their own. Remember Al Sharpton? Show me where your church at, first of all. That's what I want to know. You a reverend? Show me your church. So where's your congregation? First of all, you know what I mean? Him and Cornel West is going at it on the Ed Show. It made absolutely no sense. I mean, anyone with a lick of common sense, I mean, he made a good point. Cornel West was making a point. And, you know, we have got to be some of the most politically immature people on the face of the planet when it comes to certain things, because there's no way you can tell that man in the White House to come out and say anything remotely close to "I'm here to help black people." They will send boiling oil in vats to the White House lawn and burn the White House lawn if he says something like that. He couldn't even put that on his lips. It was hard enough for him to settle the lawsuit with the black farmers. That was hard enough to do. So, you know, so there's things that he's done that, you know, people just don't see or hear, blah, blah, but he actually was able to, you know, to come to settlement on that. But that was hard to do. And that was hard for him to forgive the debt of an African nature. We just have to grow up. I mean, you really think white people are going to be comfortable in saying that, yeah, you know, while I'm here, I'm going to make sure my people get on? Nah.
No, his job is to look out for the well-being of the entire country, not just one group of people. And if people don't understand that, like you said, they politically are very immature, there's nothing that he can do as an individual for you just because your skin is black, as his is. I mean, that's a ridiculous concept, and I heard it when he first got in office how we were expecting so many things to happen. Not really. All he can do is get up there and be president and do. He's not at the very top of the pyramid. I mean, he has people that he has to answer to as well. So
right. We don't live in a dictatorship. So that's the first thing. He's not. He's commander in chief, but we still have the House and the Senate.
Well, you have a lot of white people who were of the opinion that he's going to be the black man's president.
Yeah.
A lot of white people.
If things got worse, I mean, there's 30 to 35% unemployment among black males in certain cities. 40% in some cases.
Well, I mean, all this stuff was in motion long before he got in office,
yes.
And that's what kills me about everything, that he's supposed to have an S on his chest and be able to correct all the woes and all the bad decisions that have been made over the last 50 years in this country. It's just impossible. It's not possible. I mean, you go back to the first time we had a national program and was carrying two wars at the same time, the first time we really actually got into debt. back in the 60s. I mean, before that, America was a very viable country as far as economics is concerned. As far as our, in fact, we had a surplus at that time. But since then, Johnson's doing social programs and doing wars at the same time. I mean, just taxed the budget, and we've been going backwards ever since. So to blame it all on Obama is really a President Obama is really a crazy notion.
No, but there are things he could do if he, I mean, he is the president after all. He is the commander in chief. He could slice probably about $100 billion out of our expenditures just by bringing people back overseas. We're still trying to maintain an empire. There's no reason for us to be in Japan. There's no reason for us to be in Germany. There's no reason. When you pay all those soldiers and sailors, those inflated, you know, cost of living adjustments because they're overseas, that's money that could be used and allocated right back here in school systems.
Well,
there's tons of money. So there's a ton. So there are things he could do now if he wanted to really be different. Because if he wanted to get the the attention of some people to do something different, that's what they could have pulled back some of the forces from overseas. There's no reason.
Well,
there's absolutely no reason. There is zero reason to have forces in Japan, in Europe. All these things. So the whole idea, the whole concept was, you know, we're going to be big brother. If any conflict should arise, it gives a strategic advantage to be able to deploy quickly, you know, and that's our problem. We have to stop, you know, trying to be an empire.
Being the world police, I understand you're saying that we've been the world police for, and basically the police for, I mean, for various political reasons, but my question to you is, what is the policy? I know he's the chief executive. He's head of the military, but can he actually, on his own, sign a document that would allow, that would require that all our troops
pull
come
back
home?
Right now.
Can he do that without
yes.
the Congress?
Yeah,
yes,
he can.
He can. He can pull
Bush
them back
did
right
it.
Now.
Bush did it. He signed an executive order. So,
he can do that. Especially if he's not in acting war. He's not in acting war. So if he's pulling back forces, that's within his purview. He can say, okay, we're no longer going to have forces in the Eurozone because there's really no need, you know, the Eurozone and you know, the NATO alliance, and, you know, they can handle all the things that are taking place in that part of the world. You know, if he wanted to, he could do that.
Well, maybe people should start putting petitions together to tell him what they would like to see him do, that he has the power to do. But for him
we got to be honest about what the United States is. The United States is a corporation. And
exactly.
They are for corporate entities. So if war makes money. That's
exactly
what people don't understand. The reason people die is because it's profitable. Everything in the capitalist system, there's money to be made. So whether you work at Walmart and they got a dead peasant policy on you, you die, your family gets nothing and enriches the company, to the fact that, you know, we spent $100 million on bombs when they bombed Libya. You know, just like, you know, they just recently announced that, you know, Secretary Gates said that he could find $170 billion he could cut out the Department of Defense. $170 billion. But yet we can't take $170 billion and distribute it to the classrooms and to the certain areas to ensure that we have proper education.
But like you just said, this is a corporation. So if it's not going to show a profit, or it's not going to have long-term education of our people, should be of long-term benefit. But if it's not showing profit, why would they do it?
Well, that's another issue altogether. It has an issue to do with disparity. You know, the reason, I mean, do you think we were brought up to be and bred to be criminals? You know, it's 83% of the, if you go to Houston, 83% of the failing schools are in areas where you have the highest incarceration rates.
Well, and on top of the fact that what we're getting is not truly an education,
it's
training to fail. It's really not an education.
It's not an education, exactly.
And I agree with you 100%.
It's indoctrination.
Exactly. Well, we haven't had education. I don't think, and in fact, I think that, you know, the whole thing was to teach us how not to reach our higher selves and learn on a higher level. We've been taught to be pretty much stupid, and that's not just any one group. That's the entirety of the country, I think.
Yes.
Well, that is true. Let me chime in, guys. We only have a few more minutes, but if you just joined us, We are talking about various topics. This is Tough Talk Tuesday, where you have an opportunity to get your rant and rave on about political front, economics, what's going on in your wallet, what's going on in your family. This is the show for you. We have a few more minutes left, but if you'd like to join us, the phone number is 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343. So we're going to keep this topics going. I think we have some good banter going on back and forth, and I'm learning a lot from you all, and I hope that you all are enjoying the show as well. If you are in the chat room, I will be happy to read your rant or rave as well as on Twitter and Facebook. So we're going to continue. We have maybe 5 more minutes, guys. So what would be the last wrap-up?
Say Diamond?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I want. If you have time, I would like to finish up what I was saying about this thing with the couple that the fellow was inquiring of his lady friend as to what life was like for her growing up, and she said that she was raised as a single mom with 13 sisters and brothers. Okay. Well, what happens is this: boys raised under those conditions is one thing. Girls, something totally different. See, I'm looking at a thing like this. If you've got boys, you can stuff them in a room like cross ties, and it really will make not too much difference on them as they grow up into adults. But for a girl, it's something different. A girl needs her own room. She needs her own space. She needs a place where she can go in and lock the door and write in her diary and take her clothes off and look at herself in the mirror and see how she's developing in the womanhood. All of these things build a girl.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think that our home situations have caused us, and this is for everyone that is in the chat room as well as on the phone and also on Facebook or Twitter, the question is this before we end. Do you think the way we are raising our children in those situations that Ron had just described, do you think that is causing us to have some type of financial setbacks?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely.
Absolutely.
Oh, here's the thing. You stop and you look at it. You have more men today living with women than you have women living with men.
That's true.
Yeah, men. And
there's more single-family female households as well.
Right. And if you go, you can go to, I think, in a county building where they have the records of who owns a home.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Scads and scads of women on there by themselves, Sally Smith, Susan Swartz, Mary Carruthers. You will find very few single men that are listed as homeowners. But you see what happens, why you end up with a situation where you have men living with women instead of women living with men today is because, first of all, you have, as a man, first of all, especially in the African-American community, and it is really spread out to everywhere, it's very difficult for a man to encounter a very large number of women that do not have any children or at least one child. So what happens is this. As a rule, the guy is just him. And you have also something else is negative. You have too many men that say in their late 30s, that have never lived out on their own and had their own apartment where they were responsible for the rent and the upkeep of the place. Mm-hmm. They're living with their mothers or they're living with some relative until some female takes in.
Now, let me tell you something about that. I mentioned that to someone on a show. It might have even been on your show, Don, and I talked about that, growing up in New York, it's not uncommon for a guy who's age 30 to still be living at home because it is really expensive to get an apartment in New York, because if you're talking about the rent average is about $1,500 to $2,000, so you got to have first and last month, plus you got to have a deposit for utilities. It might take you almost $4,000 or $5,000 to get your apartment. So it's and if you're working, you know, and you paying expenses, and then you live at home, and then you got to pay expenses there. You know, you see a lot of guys who, you know, either they living at home with their mother, or they going to move in with a female that they seen or something like that. So one of the things I said is kind of like what the gentleman was saying is that, you know, we have to find a way to become more respectable in the eyes of women, because it's just no way, from my knowledge, that a woman can truly respect you if she feels like you're living off of her.
But what happens with the situation where you have the man that are moving in with his girlfriend and she has kids? What happens, even if he is on his own, he does not have a place that's large enough for her and her children. But she has a bit of space. She has more space in her place than he has in his. So this is another reason he ends up with her.
Well, let me chime in for a second. And we are off the, we're not live anymore, guys, but we can still keep the conversation going for just a short period. But my question is this. It seems that, and you have made quite apparent that women are leading in home ownership. And you've made the point that there are more women that have their own places, and the guys are actually living with them instead of the reverse, where she's living with him. But my question is, why is that, and how can we change it?
It was done by design.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's no accident.
I agree. Yeah.
Well, I know it's no accident, but how can we change that paradigm? How can we
it kind of goes back to what I was saying before. I mean, they spend $88,000 on a prisoner, whereas you could spend $10,000 to educate someone.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So, I mean, it's mm-hmm. just that simple. I mean, you go to Detroit, right? Detroit, I want to say the dropout rate is something embarrassing, like 60%. I mean, really?
Wow.
60%? So, when you know, or you go back to, like, you know, around my old hood, you know, I think the dropout rate is somewhere in the hovering around the 40s to 50s. And the thing is lip service. So if you tell these children that, okay, if you follow all the rules, you go to school, you get a job, and there's no jobs, if they know men who got a master's degree that's out of work.
Exactly.
Then
can't even get a job at the post office.
To go to school. Yeah. You know, I know guys who have MBAs who are out of work. When I got laid off in 2008, I know a guy who had an MBA, and it took him a year and a half to find a job.
Well, I think that my opinion is that having a job is highly overrated anyway.
Yeah.
You know, it's great to have it if you can have it. But, you know, back in the 50s in Chicago, we had a community of – there were more black millionaires on the south side of Chicago than anywhere on the planet. And the reason being is because we were forced – because Chicago is so racist, we were forced – to work together and to trade among each other. And it built millionaires. But as soon as the civil rights laws were passed, et cetera, and we were able to move out of our neighborhoods, all of those millions, all those family stores, those family jobs, everything that we created was just torn apart because we couldn't wait to get the money out of our community. In fact, the money doesn't even reach our community. People get paid from downtown, and they spent most of their money before they even get to the south side of Chicago. Or the west side of Chicago. Money doesn't stay in our community for 50 seconds. And now with all the other different groups coming in, none of it stays in our community. Even when we get home,
black dollar
is the
most used dollar. I mean, our dollar doesn't recycle at all. I mean, I want to say the numbers are like, you know, less than 15% of the money stays in, and in some areas it's less than that. Whereas, you know, with Asians, you know, they have a culture of doing business together. So, you know, like 90% of their money stays with them. So if they own businesses, they buy from their own supermarkets. If they own a salon, they buy from their own supply houses. And their money
well,
recycled.
I got to tell you, to me, I didn't mean to cut you off, but it's an American tradition, because you'll find people from the islands, people from Africa, they spend inside of their community. In fact, if you ever want to join a black community that's pretty much united economically, you can join the Ethiopian community, you can join the Nigerian community, any other community. So it's not it's not really a black thing. It's a thing that we've been taught culturally.
Well, what I'll say is, you know, this story is not our story. The Haitians, they're together because, you know, they had the first successful slave revolt. So there's a different mindset when you come from outside this country. And in fact, some of them look down on us. You know, they come from New York, like some of the Haitians, some of the Jamaicans, they kind of look down on us a little bit because, you know, our schools are failing, the children are failing, there's a lot of issues. So they kind of look down on us and wonder why we don't.
Well, another reason they look down on us is because we have we have been trained to have that attitude of being inferior. And even though we show it outwardly and we try not to show it, we still were born and forced into an inferior position from a social standpoint and an institutional standpoint, and we have not overcome it because it's constantly being bombarded into our communities with television, radio. You look on television, black people are doing all these crimes, so-called. And to be honest with you, I think, you know, they don't report those things when they happen in other communities. As soon as something happens in our community, it's all over the news. It's showing our faces. If a white person or some other person did a murder, all you got to know he's not black is you won't see his face. This person was killed by this person. You never see it, but let it become a black person, and it's plastered all over the news. And it's just negative reinforcement, and that's what we've been having to deal with, institutionalized negative reinforcement since slavery.
You know what, guys? You are so correct on that. We have run out of time. But we can continue this conversation again next Tuesday on our opportunities to rant and rave, and I would like to thank you all for joining me. And join me again, because this is some great banter back and forth, and this is issues that we definitely need to talk about and try to find some type of resolve. Sometimes we won't be able to, but it's good to at least get that information out, that maybe someday someone will come and find out how we can actually solve some of these issues. And I agree definitely with you, Thomas, when you said that I am so sick and tired of these pseudo-leaders. I don't know why they've considered themselves our leaders in the first place when they're acting like kindergarten children on a playground fighting over a popsicle.
And they were appointed to those positions by somebody, a higher...
Or self-appointed.
Well, you know, a lot of times, yeah, that's true, but... sometimes people are picked out simply for their characteristics to be put up front, to show an example of how we're supposed to be.
Well, you know what? If that is the case, that is really a sad and sorry situation when you have two highly intelligent adults acting like they are on the playground fighting over a popsicle, just like I said. Well, we can continue this next week. I would definitely like to talk about more things that are on the political arena and schools, as far as prison systems, what's happening with our armed forces and how that is actually taking a negative impact on us as a country and definitely us as a people, and what's going on your neighborhood and in your wallet. So join me next Tuesday for Tough Talk Tuesday, where you have an opportunity to get your rant and rave on, where we have to face the facts and tell the truth. So I have to bid you all adieu and say good night, and I will talk with you all again next week.
Good night, guys.
All right. Good night, everybody.